This is Dr. William R. Glaze, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. As the founder and CEO of Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I'm grateful that you are listening to us. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive their choice of either an Anchored in Jesus coffee mug or Anchored in Jesus t-shirt. The promotion will run now through Friday, November 24th. At the end of the promotion, we will have a drawing and randomly two names. Each of these two individuals will receive a basket of Anchored in Jesus merchandise, including one of my books entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we'd love to hear your thoughts about our program. Please go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the blessings of tapping into God's economy. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the blessings of tapping into God's economy.
Do you realize something? Is that Bethany started a building campaign in the midst of a downturn in the economy. We started a building campaign in the midst of a downturn in the economy. We said that we wanted to raise $1.3 million. And you know what? We raised every penny of it. Now, let me finish. Because we didn't build right away, right? Inflation got to us. So, you know, we had to go and a little bit extra. But as far as what we determined that we were going to do, that we raised it in the midst of a downturn, in the midst of COVID, when churches are closing down, businesses are closing down, God has sustained Bethany Baptist Church. And during the height of COVID, we were bringing in more than we were before COVID started. God continues. In COVID, the people of Bethany are giving, continuing to give to the new building in the midst of all that we're going through. Saints, this thing did not take God by surprise. He didn't start pulling his hair, and he didn't start freaking out when things, the downturn in the economy, when COVID happened, and now we see inflation rising. It don't. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When you tap into God's economy, he's not taken by surprise. And notice this. See, if you tie into the world system, when the world system goes down, you just think. I talk to a lot of people who, you know, their retirement been hit, right? Their retirement has been hit. Some people have been hit for a pretty healthy hit. Whose economy are you on? Are you on the world's economy? See, if you're on the world's economy, then that's when you hear about people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, right? When you're on the world's economy. But if you're on God's economy, when these things happen, God got this. God has it. And so he's not taken by surprise, and he operates independently from the world's economy. Notice this in Genesis chapter 41, verses 54 through 47. That should be 54 through 57. All right, 54 through 57. It says, and the 7 years of famine began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the famine was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he hath said to you, do. And the famine was, look at this, over all the face of the earth. Did you hear that? The famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt. All the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was so severe in all of the land. And so we see the whole world was dealing with a famine. The whole world was dealing with a famine. But in God's economy, in Egypt, there was bread. There was bread. Oh, the philosophies of God's economy. Let's look at the provisions of God's economy. It can take care. God's provision, it can take care of the countries of all the earth. God's resources can take care of anything. We just read the verses, but let me just point out again where it says that all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain because the famine was so severe. That God's economy was able to take care of the whole earth. Let that sink in. If he can take care of the whole earth, surely he can take care of me. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, God will provide all that is needed to those who seek him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? What did he just get finished talking about? He just got finished talking about how God takes care of the birds of the air, how he feeds them, how he clothes them, how he houses them. He just got finished talking about it. He said, why do you worry about all these things? Why are you concerned about all these things? Yeah, we need to be responsible. I'm going to hammer that over and over again. We need to be responsible. But once you've done all that you can, it's up to God. It's up to God. God, I'm in your economy. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, you know what? Either I'm standing up here preaching a bunch of lies, or the word of God is true. Or he's going to take care of us. You know, I remember when it was me, Angie, and Nicole. And I was in seminary. I was training to be a pastor, a preacher, right? And I remember we got a notice that they were going to turn off our electricity. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to pay this bill. I remember just praying, God, you know what? You got to know about me. Lord, you got to know that we are down here. You got to know that they're getting ready to turn off our electricity. And I think Nicole, she might have been about 5 at the time. And we got together, me, Angie, and Nicole, we got together to pray. And I was trying to give Nicole a prayer burden. I said, now, Nicole, I said, if they turn off the electricity, we're not going to have any heat. If they turn off the electricity, we're not going to be able to have any cooked food. Then I said, I believe this might have been what got her, right? I said, if they turn off the electricity, you're not going to be able to watch cartoons, right? And my wife is sitting back there, and she can verify this. I don't know how long it was, and we didn't let anybody know about this. We didn't let anybody know. I don't know how long it was, but it was shortly thereafter, there was a knock at our door. And a guy came. He was a seminarian like me. He was just as broke as me. He gave me an envelope. And I opened up the envelope, and there were seven $20 bills in the envelope, the exact amount of what it was going to take to pay our electric bill. See, I'm trying to tell you that when you're on God's economy, if God tells you to buy the moon, go ahead and sign the note, because he's going to make the payment. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Right? That's not to say that we're not going to hit hard times. I can't tell you the number of times. Again, another testimony, when I was in seminary, man, we hit real hard times. You know, we hit rock bottom. But when we hit rock bottom, we found out that he was the rock at the bottom. I remember one night, all we had was some green tomatoes. That's all we had to eat, was some green tomatoes. And my wife took them tomatoes, and put them in some flour and pepper and salt and spiced them up. And we sat there that night, and all we ate was green tomatoes. And then the next day, I was helping a pastor out in the country, and we went down to help him the next day. And somebody took us out to eat. And we had a dinner, and we were eating steak and potatoes. And I said, one night it might be green tomatoes, and the next day it may be steak and potatoes, right? But when you're on God's economy, he's going to make sure that you got what you need. And so, to be on God's economy, even when the bottom falls out, that God will sustain you. I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. The provisions in God's economy. And then let me close with this point, and I'll pick it back up next week, and that is the participants in God's economy. Now you got to watch this now. You got to watch this now. Who are the participants in God's economy? The participants in God's economy are those who do what God tells them to do. Genesis 41, 46 through 49. Look at this. Look at this. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, for the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up the same. And Joseph gathered grain as the sand of the sea, very much until he ceased numbering, for it was without number. He did exactly what God told him to do. You can't be on God's economy and do things your way, right? If you want to work it out your way, then you are either on the world's economy or you are on your economy. I want to trust God. And I want to do what God tells me to do, because I realize that if I'm in his economy, he's going to take care of all my financial needs. You know, there was a guy, he was flying the airplane, and all the electric system went out, so he didn't know how to land the plane. And the guy that was at the tower had to guide him in. And he said, you take care, you follow the instructions, and I'll take... and I'll take care of the obstructions. You follow the instructions, and I'll take care of the obstructions. Isn't that what God is saying? Isn't that what God said to Joseph? He said, you follow the instructions. You do what I told you to do. You save up. You store up in the 7 years of plenty. And in the 7 years of famine, there'll be food. You take care of the instructions, and I'll take care of the obstructions. And you know, I find that in order for us to tap into, now here's where I'm going to get into trouble. Here's where the message goes south, right? is that you got to have the right money mindset. You got to have the right money mindset. See, there's three money mindsets, right? There's three money mindsets. There's a self-centered, which says God gets zero, right? That all I have is mine. If you're sitting here today and that's your attitude, then I can tell you right now that you're not into God's economy. You're operating on your own economy, right? So next week I'm gonna talk a little bit more about this, but the fact is that you're operating on your own economy. There's the mindset of the saint, which says that 10%, God gets 10%. A part of what I have belongs to God. Well, that's a good mindset. God will bless that mindset, but that's still not the right mindset. And then there's the mindset of a steward. So this is where we're going next week. So I want to let you know, next week we're going to talk about being stewards, with stewardship. That it all belongs to God. It all belongs to Him. And He has entrusted me to manage it. You know, I have a confession to make, and I try not to do this too much, right? But it does happen every now and then. Something, I might forget to send a payment or send a payment in late. Then I get a late charge. And man, I just beat myself up. Because you know what I say? God, I'm a steward over your resources. And I'm just giving $25, $30, $35 to the bank. That's poor stewardship. That's poor stewardship. See, I need to realize that not only what I give to God belongs to Him, but what He lets me keep. I'm walking out of the camera. I got to make sure I stay in range of the camera. Again, that's one of them mic drop moments, right? Not only what I give to Him belongs to Him, He owns it all. Go to that next slide. God owns it all. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. God owns it. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, He owns it all. You know, it kills me, you know, people that are working to accumulate all this wealth. And there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There were some rich people in the Bible, right? Job was rich. Abraham was rich, right? There was people in the Bible that, you know, as they said back in the day, they had buku cash, right? Job was so rich that he buttered his steps. He oiled his steps with butter. That's how rich Job was. You know? And so we will understand that. But there was a principle that I believe that Abraham and Job knew. Because the Bible said Job was a righteous man. He feared God and eschewed evil. Abraham, God said of Abraham, I know I can trust Abraham. So I believe that both of those individuals realized, God, you own it all. The only reason that I have anything is because you have blessed me. You say, well, I go to work every day. And I earned my paycheck, you know, and I got up this morning. The alarm clock got me up, right? Take that alarm clock over to Homewood Cemetery. Walk through the cemetery and let it ring. See how many people get up. God got you up this morning. God gave you strength to start on your way. It was God that put life in your body. It's in him we live and move and have our being. Some folk didn't get up today. Some rich folk didn't get up today, right? But God got you up. And so we realize that he owns it all. It all belongs to him. God said in Psalm 50, he said, I own the cattle on the thousand hills. You know, I didn't put the verse up there, but you know what he said before that? He said, if I was broke, I wouldn't even tell you. God said, if I was broke, I wouldn't tell you. I own it all. He owns it all. And until we have that perspective on finances, on our possessions, then we got the wrong perspective. And so in order for you to operate on God's economy, you got to first of all realize that he owns it all. And then the next thing you got to realize is that he has made you a steward over it. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That God owns it all. So here's where I'm going to end. I'll pick up next week. God owns it all. He's given it to us to manage. He's given it to us to manage. How can you lose on that program? How can you lose on that program? God owns it all, and he's given it to me to manage. That's why, you know, I'm getting ready to close, right? But I've been accused of not preaching a heavy-handed message on giving at Bethany. So I tell my joke, right? I said, I preach a message here at Bethany on giving once a year. And so somebody says, well, Pastor, every time I come to church, you always preaching on giving. Right? But I'm going to tell you my philosophy. This is my philosophy. I don't believe that you got to beat people up to get money out of it. You know, I think if God got your heart, he got your pocketbook. If God got your heart, he got your pocketbook. And I can stand up in this pulpit and preach and beat you down, and you're just going to walk away here mad at Pastor Glaze, right? But if God is dealing with your heart, if God is dealing with your heart, then you're going to do what he tells you to do. Because you realize that God has blessed you and that you are a steward of what God has given you. That, you know, the car that I drove here today, the house that I'm going to go to when I leave here, yeah, my name is on the title, but I don't own it, right? I don't own it. Look how many people are losing their houses, right? Look how many people are losing their houses. And they got their name on the title, right? But when you're on God's program, on God's economic program, he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. You may have to downsize that time. You might have to make some adjustments. You got to be sensitive to his voice. You got to hear his voice. But God will take care of you. What's that song say? Whatever the tide, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever the tide, God will take care of you. Through every day, along the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Blessings of Tapping into God's Economy, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blessings of Tapping into God's Economy. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blessings of Tapping into God's Economy. Call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 2404, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.